I love you. 1 Thessalonians 4, okay, in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. If you don't have a Bible, look on to the person next to you. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13. I'm going to start reading. If you're not there, you can just listen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13 says this. But I would not have you, look down it with me, please. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Marissa, could you do me a favor? In my office, could you grab one of the couch pillows, please? Okay. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We're going to pray, jump right in the message, and I ask you, please, for the next 20 minutes or so, sit up straight, keep your eyes on me, focus. We'll turn to some passages, turn with me as quickly as you can, and focus tonight. This can help you. Lord, we love you. Bless this message. Please use me as I preach. Do a great work. Lord, tonight, help the teens that are here this evening, God, to listen with an open heart, willing to make decisions, Lord, if need be. Thank you for bringing them with us today. Lord, those who have missed, I ask you to just help them know that they were missed. And Lord, do a great mighty work in your house tonight in your precious holy name. Amen. These verses right here talk about one day when we are going to go to heaven. Listen, I just did a funeral for Mr. Stevens last week. Mr. Stevens, I believe, is in heaven right now. Heaven is a real place. I would hope that you wouldn't sit in Loomis Park Baptist Church, part of the Loomis Park Baptist Youth Group, and think that heaven is not real. Let me tell you, a teenager, heaven is a real place. Just like hell is a real place. Listen, some of you got saved, and when you got saved and asked Christ to save you, man, you were thinking, man, I don't want to go to hell. I want to trust Christ to be my Savior, ask for forgiveness of my sins, because I don't want to spend eternity in a place called hell. Listen, if hell is real, then so is heaven. We have something to look forward to. Even though this life may not be the greatest for you, listen, beyond a shadow of doubt, if you're saved, no matter how rotten this life gets, listen, you have a home in heaven with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. We sang about it today. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Let's talk about heaven, guys. Let's not talk about an actual mansion here on earth over the hilltop. Let's talk about in heaven one day when you die or when the Lord brings you home. Listen, you have a mansion waiting for you. Heaven is a real place. It's awesome. It's exciting. The message tonight, though, is not about heaven. Tristan, it was great that he preached on that tonight, because my message goes right along with it. He talked about looking up, didn't he? About looking up. And he said, listen, you know, heaven's up and hell's down. And we say that, you know, yeah, obviously heaven's in the clouds and hell's below us. But the message is called going up. It's called going up. And I have a few things tonight, four things that we need to do before we go up. Because bottom line is this, whether the Lord comes back to bring us home or we die, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. One day we're all going to be going up if we're saved, if we know Christ as our Savior. We're going up. What do we need to do before we go up? I have a little illustration tonight, and I'll probably move this pulpit a few times. But when I was thinking about this message, I thought about sleeping, okay? I love sleeping. I wish I had a blanket with me. Let me get my fleece because it's kind of cold. How many of you love sleeping? Raise your hand. How many say, Pastor Donald, I don't get enough sleep? How many say, I get like 10 hours, but that's still not enough? Yeah, you all bums, I know. Yeah, exactly. How many say, Pastor Donald? Never mind, that's going to be mean. I'll just say it. I could tell none of you guys, have gotten any beauty sleep at all. Right, girls? Amen, girls? Amen. Listen, how many of you girls say, I don't need no beauty sleep. I got all this. Yeah. Amen, buddy. Yeah. So listen, we go to sleep, right? We go to sleep, and sadly enough, whether it's, how many have to get up before 6 a.m.? Oh, I'm so sorry. What do you use an alarm clock on your phone, or did your mom do it? Okay. So listen, so you're sleeping. Listen, you're sleeping peacefully, and you're dreaming about puppies and unicorns, and, you know, girls are dreaming about your dream guy or whatever, and he's getting ready to tell you he loves you in your dream, and he says, you know, he says, Sadie. He says, Sadie, I've been wanting in your dream. This is not me. This is in your dream. Not me. Better not be me in your dream. And he says, Sadie. And he's probably this Latino man or something. And he's got his eyebrows are done. And he says, Sadie, I have been wanting to tell you this my entire life. He says, Sadie. And as he's getting ready, he says, and then you hear, Sadie, time to get up, Sadie. Get out of bed, it's 5 a.m., light and shine, you got your Cocoa Puffs ready on the... And Sadie says, and she gets mad, and she gets ticked. But listen, part of every morning for us, or afternoon, some of you sleep in, is waking up. And that's number one, okay? Number one, before we go up, we need to wake up. See, what are you talking about, wake up? Listen, like I said, when we're sleeping, we don't know what's going on. All we know is what's going on in our dreams. Some of us don't even have any dreams. We're just sleeping. It's nothing. We don't remember anything. But we sleep, just like Jasmine's sleeping right now in the middle of my message. No, I'm just kidding. And listen, you sleep. You don't know what's going on. But finally, you wake up. You wake up and you realize what's going on around you. And you realize, there isn't a Latino guy getting ready to tell me he loves me. Or sometimes we have dreams where we fly or whatever. You say, You say, that dream, it was just a dream, it wasn't real. Now I got to wake up and face reality. And this is where I'm really getting ready to go to school and all this other stuff, and you're upset. Spiritually, guys, and as a teenager nowadays, as a Christian teenager, it's time that we wake up. So what are you talking about, Pastor John? I'm talking about some of us go through the motions so often, and some of us are just going through life totally oblivious to what's going on around us. As Christian teenagers, you walk through public school and you pass by hundreds, maybe even if your school's huge, thousands of people that are on their way to hell. They're dying and they're on their way to hell. They have no hope, and it's your job and your duty to tell them about it. Some of you are walking through your life as a Christian teenager away from God, doing wrong, sinning, living a wicked lifestyle as a Christian teenager, thinking that there's no consequences. That's a dream, guys. You haven't woke up spiritually. You're sleeping. You haven't woke up. And some of you, God forbid that you grow up and you never really wake up spiritually and you finally die and you're right in front of the Lord and God's there. And he says, listen, you never did a thing for me. You never obeyed me. You never lived for me. You spiritually slept your whole life and you got nothing to show for it. Man, I would hate that. What I want for the teenagers of Loomis Park Baptist Church in our youth group is that spiritually you wake up and your eyes open and you say, you know what? There are people on their way to hell. Hey, you know what? My parents do need me to respect them. Hey, you know what? I do need to do well in school, and I do need to treat others with respect, because that's what God wants, because that's going to make me a better Christian and a better person. Guys, you need to wake up spiritually. You need to wake up. I don't know what else, how many times I have to preach, or how many times you have to go to Teens Beck or to camp or hear preaching for you to finally say, listen, how many times are you going to have to sit through a service to where you finally say, you know what, I need to really make changes. Not just go up to an altar and say, Lord, help me. I want to do better in this or that. I want to respect my parents, or I need to do your will. And then you go home and just go back to the same stuff. How many times is it going to take for you to finally say, you know what? I'm really going to make changes right now. Hey, I may make mistakes, but I'm always going to be trying to do right and live holy and be a Christian teenager and live for the Lord and be an example and a testimony at my school and treat my parents with respect. Some of your parents aren't saved. They don't even know the Lord. And you treat them like such garbage. Listen, you haven't woke up and realized that you're sending your own parents to hell by the way you act. Listen, like I said, I said it before, I got great parents that are saved. So I don't know what it's like for you that have parents that aren't saved. But I do know this, because the Bible says it, that if you disrespect your parents and treat them like garbage, how are they ever going to see the love of Christ? How are they ever going to believe in what you say you believe in? Oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and you treat them like garbage. They're not going to get saved. Why do they want to get saved if you're treating them like garbage and you're supposedly a Christian? Listen, guys, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. People all around you on the way to hell. Hey, you know what else you got to wake up about? The fact that God's got a plan for you. Some of you don't, you refuse to believe that. You refuse to believe that God could do something with your life because of mistakes you've made or because of things that have happened to you personally. You say, God can't use me. I'm too wicked. I've messed up too many times. My past, it haunts me. You know, the life I live at home or my parents, whatever. Maybe you got excuses, and you refuse to believe that God can use you. You need to wake up and realize that God can use anybody. God can use anybody. God used Peter. Peter in the Bible is a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was an angry guy. He was mad. There was a point in his life when Jesus was on his way to the cross where Peter denied him and even cursed. Said, I don't know who that man Jesus is. God used him. He got two books, 1st and 2nd Peter. God can use anybody, and God can use you, but some of you are still sleeping, and you don't believe it, and you're in a dreamland thinking that you got to do your own thing and live your own life when God's got a perfect plan for you, and it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up, teenager. Number one, what do we need to do before we go up? We need to wake up. We can't go through life thinking that everything's okay and honky-dory and beautiful when really, listen, it's not, guys. Listen, life is good. Praise the Lord. Life is great. I love my life. But I can't go around thinking that life is perfect and that everybody around me is on their way to heaven and that I don't need to do. I need to realize, listen, that I'm a sinner. I need to work up my relationship with God. And people around me are on the way to hell. And listen, this country, in your public school, they're constantly feeding you with false information and with stuff that's against the Bible. And listen, we sometimes just miss it and say, oh, whatever. Listen, Satan's attacking your life. You need to wake up and realize it. Number two, what do we do after we wake up? This is probably the hard part for some of us. Here we are sleeping. And Sadie, the Latino guy, is getting ready to tell you. And then mom says, time to get up, Sadie. Yeah. So what's the next step after she yells at you to wake up? You got it. You got to get up. Now, that's the hard part. Sometimes it's easy to, you can slap the alarm clock. You can't really slap your mom if she tells you to get up. Some of you might do that. But listen. We need to get up. After we wake up, we can't just stay in bed. No, we got to get up. Just like spiritually, listen, some of you, I hope tonight that some of you will wake up and say, you know what? I do need to make changes. You know what? There are people that are dying and going to hell. You know what? I do need to respect my parents. And you've woken up and you've realized that, but the next step is to get up. You know what that means? You've got to do something about it. Don't just wake up, because that's not all there is to it. Every one of us woke up this morning, but also the next... We wouldn't be here if we didn't get up. You got out of bed. Sometimes it takes some determination. Sometimes it takes some strength to say, you know what? Oh, I don't want to get up. I don't want to, but I got to get up. Can I be honest with you guys? There's decisions that many of you need to make in your life that you haven't yet made yet because you don't want to get up. Listen, there are mornings that I want to get up. Man, I'm excited about the day. Some days I want to stay in bed. Man, I'm tired, man. Charlie was up freaking out, and I heard him at 2 in the morning, and then, you know, this and that, and whatever happened, and it comes to 6:30 or 7 a.m. or whatever it may be, and the alarm goes off, and I just want to take my phone and throw it across the room and curl over and enjoy those blankets and that pillow, and it's just beautiful, and I love it. Okay? I don't want to get up. And listen, I'm an adult now, so I don't always have to get up. But listen, I've got to get up. I've got a job to do. And so many times, guys, listen. In your life, you've woken up and you realize that you need to make changes and you've realized that you need to do right and live holy and you've woken up and said, you know what, man, I am living this way and I need to live for God and do right. Or you know what, I am treating my parents like garbage. I need to start respecting them more. But you never really get out of bed, which means you never really make any changes. You realize you need to make changes, but you don't make them. Or you make them real quick like this. Oh, Lord, help me to do this and respect my parents and this and that, blah, blah, blah. Amen. Okay, I'm going to do it. And then you get home and you mess up and you fail and you forget all about it. And your decisions don't leave this altar. They stay right here. You don't carry them with you at all. Teenagers, you got to get up once you wake up. You've got to get up and do something. Listen, I hope you realize that, like I said, people are going to hell around you. When you get up spiritually, that means you're going to start telling them about Jesus. You're going to start giving out tracts. You're going to start treating your parents right. You're going to start treating one another with respect. You're going to start living for God and living holy and making right godly decisions. Making decisions based not on what you want to do, but what God told us to do from His Word. God tells you how to live your life. You need to get up. You need to get things done. Teenagers, you can accomplish great things for God, but you'll never do it staying in bed. You'll never do it laying down. You've got to get that strength to say, man, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do something. It takes discipline. It takes courage. It takes determination. And listen, this is a generation nowadays that has none of those things at all. Everything's handed to us. We don't need to look things up or read. Everything's right here on our phone. We don't need to do anything but sit there like this all day long. And that's what some of us do right when we wake up, too. We grab our phone and look right at Facebook right when you wake up in the morning. Stay in bed for another 10 minutes. Listen, guys. It's time to get up. Time to get up. Some of you, I can think, I say, you know what? Not only have they woken up, but they've also got up. I can think of some of you teenagers right now, man. You got up. You're actually working towards something. You're working towards God. Well, Tristan preached tonight, man. God called him to be a youth pastor. He preached tonight. Listen, that's part of getting up, man. Say, you know what? God called me to preach. So when the opportunity comes, I'm going to do it. And he even said it. He said, man, I'm preaching myself. I haven't been here like I should be. Hey, that's part of getting up is realize he woke up, man. He said, yo, man, I haven't been in church like I should be. So I need to start coming more. Preaching to myself. Listen, guys, you've got to get up. You've got to make changes, real changes. Get up. Get out of bed. I think of Eric Tharp. I talked about before, a young man, our old pastor from Massachusetts. His son was 18 years old, and he came home from Bible college. His first Thanksgiving home as a freshman in college. And he was killed in a car accident as a young preacher boy. He was going to go off and preach, and, man, he was a great kid. The year before he left, when he was still living at home, senior in high school, Eric had during his teenage years, had some friends that weren't really necessarily doing right, and he had a choice to make as a teenager. Am I going to hang out with the wrong kind of friends? Am I going to maybe be alone and do what's right? And this is the pastor's son. And he finally made a decision as a teenager, you know what? I won't be a jerk to those bad friends. I'll treat them right, but I need to do what's right. I need to live for God and follow Him. And there were a lot of times when Eric was kind of off by himself alone because there was no one else that really wanted to live for the Lord. But Eric was all right with that. He was okay with that. He lived for God and loved it. And the year before he left, you know what he did? He had an idea in his mind, and God put an idea in his heart that he said, what if we went to every door in the city of Holyoke, which is where we lived in Holyoke, Massachusetts. He said, what if we went to every single door in the city of Holyoke, and we had a packet with a track in it, with an invitation from the pastor, with a John and Romans in it, and we put it on every single door in Holyoke. And that was a great idea, man. Get the gospel on every door in Holyoke. It was like 50,000, 60,000 doors. And he didn't just have the idea and wake up and say, oh, people need the Lord, and say, I hope someone does it one day. No, he got in the forefront of that, called it Blitz Holyoke. And in just a month or two, we got every single door in the city of Holyoke and put a packet on each doorknob all over that city, that young man. It was his vision, and he made it happen. Not by sitting around doing nothing. No, not by sitting around playing video games all day. No, but he got up and said, I want to live for God. God's given me a vision. We need to get people saved, and that's what we're going to do. And he did it. There were times when I was, as an 11, 12-year-old boy, I would get in Eric's car, and we would drive down into Holyoke, and we'd walk together and put things on doors, giving up the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, teenager, time to get up. Time to stop going through the motion and staying in bed and saying, I'm a teenage Christian. Listen, yeah, I love the Lord, and Jesus is my Savior, and I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, and life is good, and God wants me to do great things for Him, and you're just laying around doing nothing, guys. How much is being accomplished right now? Zero, nothing, not a zip. It takes strength to get out of bed and go and do something. Get up. Get up. What else do we do after we get up? I think of the verse in Isaiah. I'm going to share this verse with you. Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? God saying, hey, who's going to go for me? Who can I send? And Isaiah said, then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Not, oh, send Mark or send Drake or send Ann or send Devin. No, he said, Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll go for you, Lord. I don't know how many of you are willing to stand up and say, you know what, I'll go for Him. Lord, here am I, send me. If you want me to be a preacher, I'll be a preacher. If you want me to marry a preacher, lady, I'll marry a preacher. Lord, here am I, send me. That's getting up, guys. Getting up. What else do we do? What else do we do? Oh, Psalm chapter. You don't got to turn there. We don't have time. Just listen. Psalm chapter 16, verse 8 says this. I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Psalm 62, 6 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Number three, after we wake up and then we get up, number three, we need to stay up. We need to stay up. Oh, I don't know about you, but many times I'll be sleeping and I got my blanket and the dream train is rolling. And then my alarm goes off and I wake up and I'm like, oh, I got to get up. So you know what I do? I get up. And I go to the bathroom. Maybe I'll jump in the shower. And then I come back out. And I'm walking to my dresser. And I look over. And I see that bed. And I see that empty spot. And it's like the blankets are saying, come back. Come back to me. I love you. And I say, I love you too, buddy. How many have done that before? You know you're supposed to wake up and get up and maybe even do get up, but then you go back to bed and then it's like 3 hours later, like, oh, I got to get going. I've been there. Listen, those 3 hours, listen, guys, hey, those 3 hours that I went back to bed for or whatever, man, I wasted time. I didn't stay up. Yeah, I got up. I woke up. Man, I said, oh, I got to get going for the day. I got up and maybe took a shower, brushed my teeth, and as I'm walking back, I see that bed and I go back to bed. And can I say this? Some of you teenagers, you have woke up while you've been in this youth group. You say, you know what? I do need to do right. Hey, you know what? Guy, I am called to preach or whatever it may be. Ladies, you know, I do need to live for God, treat my parents right. And some of you even made some decisions and you actually got up and said, you know what? I'm going to preach. I'm going to be faithful. Or you say, you know what? I'm going to start treating my parents right. And you do. You start treating your parents better. You start respecting one another. You start bringing your Bible to school and saying, man, I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed of it. And you've made great decisions like that and you've actually followed through on them. So, man, I'm not going to listen to that rotten music anymore. I'm going to listen to what the right kind of music. And you maybe got rid of your bad music and you got some good music. So, man, I'm going to make, and you've made some good decisions. But then you went back to bed. Then you say, you know what? Your mom says something that bothers you and you mouth off. Or someone at school makes fun of you or asks you to do something, and instead of feeling like a loser, you decide to go along with it and when you know what's wrong. And really, that is what makes you a loser. It's going along with it. And you say, well, you know what? I know I gave up that music, but that one wasn't that bad, so I'm just going to, you know, download that back onto iTunes or my iPod or whatever. So I know barely anybody uses CDs anymore, probably. I mean, I know people use, I know it's iTunes, it's the iPod, it's your phone, you can, the MP3s, and it's a lot harder to get rid of. You could just break a CD in half if it's bad. You're not going to break your iPod in half. That's, you know, people pay good money for that. But listen, there is a way, and you know there's a way to get rid of your rotten music. And if you get rid of all that, then you can go on YouTube and look at music videos if you want to. Listen, it's not about getting rid of the CD. It's not about taking the CD that you have and just saying, oh, you know what? This is. I'm not going to listen to this anymore. I'm going to break the CD, and I'm going to take it, I'm going to throw it away, and I don't need it anymore. It's gone out of my life. I don't want it. It's not that hard to do that, guys. But it's not just about getting rid of it. It's about in your heart getting rid of it. I've talked to cutters before. Young people that cut their skin open. And I remember at the beginning, I was like, man, that's so weird. Why would someone do that? Why would someone that just doesn't make any sense to me, why they hurt themselves. And after talking to many of them and reading up on it, I understand. Because I understand why people do it. I understand what you're trying to do. You get all this tensity and this built up inside you, and you're trying to release it, and that makes you feel better. And listen, it probably does, and it becomes an addiction. But I have a whole drawer full of blades in my office. People that have given me their blades said, I don't want to cut anymore. And I said, thank you. I'll take those blades. And listen, God can give you victory. And you know what happens sometimes? Those same people that give me those blades come to me in a month or 3 months, 4 months, whatever, and say, man, I'm cutting again. Because I said, it's not about the blade. You can always find something. You can always find more music. You can always find the wrong kind of friends. Whatever it is, it's your heart that has to change, guys. It's your heart that has to change. You can give me your blades. You can give me your music. You can give me whatever it is that's wrong in your life physically. But until you change what's inside you and in your heart and change your thinking, nothing will change. And you'll stay spiritually in bed the rest of your life, never accomplishing anything for God. You've got to get up and you've got to stay up. You got to keep those decisions. And when you make a mistake, then get up again. What happened is we go back to bed spiritually and we stay in bed instead of getting back up. You've got to get back up and stay up. Stay up. Man, live for the Lord and stick with it. It's so worth it, guys. Listen, I stand here today not because I'm perfect, not because I've never made a mistake. I have. But I'm doing my best spiritually to stay up and stay out of bed. Miss Mercer's doing her best to stay up and stay out of bed spiritually and do right and live holy. Listen, it's worth it. It's worth it. The life you're living right now without God, it may seem like it's great or good, but it's going to run out, guys. It's going to run out. You're going to run out of happiness and peace because it's not real. Not genuine. Listen, you need true peace, and it only comes from staying up, staying with God, guys. Please. I hear story after story of pastors and youth pastors who have to leave the ministry because they make a mistake, a bad mistake. Listen, I don't want to be that story. No, and I don't have to be. If I stay up. Number four, and we're done. This goes right along with Tristan's message. We wake up, we get up, we stay up. And number four, we look up. We look up. The Psalm 5:3 says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning. Will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All throughout the Bible, when people were struggling or having difficulties or trials, listen, those who had victory didn't look down. Didn't look at themselves and say, what can I do to fix this? No, they looked up to God. And God gave the victory. I preached about it last Sunday morning when Pastor was gone. King Jehoshaphat in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the armies were coming to attack them. And King Jehoshaphat prayed and said, Lord, please, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And it says, all the children of Israel, the wives and the children, they stood together and they lifted their eyes toward heaven and they looked to God, and God gave the victory. Teenager, in your life, you have trials, you've got past problems, you've had things that have happened to you, you've got difficulties in your life, you've got family that's away from God, maybe you're away from God. It's time to look up to Him and say, God, I'm done trying to do it myself. Lord, I need your help. I'm looking up to you, Lord. I'm looking to you, Lord. I'm looking to you. Wake up. Get up. Stay up. And then look up. Because listen, you'll stay up if you're looking up. Once you finally get up out of bed, listen, you keep your eyes forward and you won't have a problem going back to bed spiritually. Because your eyes are on the one who can help you. Your eyes are on the one who saved you, who's got a plan for you, and who wants to lead you. Look up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor Donald, something in the message spoke to my heart tonight. Raise your hand up so I can see it. Okay, the altars are open if you need them. Come on up right now. There's no piano. We don't need no piano. Come on up and do business with God. Listen, it's time to wake up spiritually, teenager. It's time to get up. It's time to stay up. The altars are open. Please use them. Please use them. Please use them, teenager. Get a hold of God tonight. Say, Lord, I have not done what I'm supposed to do. I need your help. Altars are open. How many say, Pastor Donald, even if you're on the altar right now, say, Pastor Donald, I've been treating my parents like garbage. Raise your hand up. Come on, be honest. Brother Charlie said it at camp, if you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. If you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. God's not going to bless your life. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Listen, you want to have a long, happy life? Treat your parents right. You want the Lord to deal with you? And treat your parents wrong. Some of you need to go home to your parents tonight, your mom or your dad, and say, I'm sorry for being such a brat. I'm sorry for being a brat. Please forgive me. I'm going to try to do better. That's getting up. That's getting up out of bed. See, man, I have. See, every one of you raised your hand. Many of you said, I'm treating my parents like garbage. Okay, well, you woke up. Now you know. Now it's time to get up. Do something about it. And said, well, I'll just start doing better and I won't tell them. No, you need to apologize to them. You need to apologize to them. You need to make things right with them. Say, I'm really going to try harder. I'm sorry for treating you wrong. How many say, Pastor Donald, I have not been the witness that I need to be. I haven't been reaching people and doing my best. Listen, I'm not saying you got to walk around school throwing out tracts and wearing a guy's wearing a suit and tie and preaching on the lunch tables. You can't do that, but you can live right. Hey, you can invite others to church. Hey, if your school allows you, you can pass out tracts. And if they don't, then don't break the rules. Hey, you can carry your Bible around. That's okay. And that shows people, hey, I'm a Christian. How many say, Pastor John, I haven't been the testimony that I should be. Raise your hand up. Well, then you woke up. You admitted to it. Now do something about it. Do something about it. Make things right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around.